Blog Talk Radio.
Hello. This program, the message of this program, is sent out to those of the papal office and the Gentiles. So with reference to God, Mr. Hart has been called by the papacy to fill the God position, perform certain tasks, and make himself known to the papal office. On previous episodes of this program, God has spoken on the papacy's infamous law of the curse against African people. He has spoken on the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover. He has spoken on the papacy's high expectations concerning God. He has spoken on the undeniable, infallible signs, proofs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. And he now speaks on the glorious law of God. It is evident that the law of the Authorized Version is manifold. Meet with God at this time as he enters into the complex of the law and expounds on the glorious law of God. Questions of interest. 2 Samuel 17:6. Shall we, the Gentiles, do after his, God's, saying? Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Psalm 4:6. Who will show us, the Gentiles, any good? Statements of concern. He, God, hath showed thee, O man, what is good. Romans 1:19. God hath showed it some good to them, the Gentiles. 3. Genesis 1:31. God saw everything that he, God, had made, and behold, it was very good. Isaiah 40, verse 8, the word of our God shall stand forever. And Romans 14:3, God hath received him, the Pope. Now, we have a word here. In the previous episodes, the question in Genesis 32:7 and Mark 5:9, what is thy name, is answered. The name of God is given. Being a part of the law, Psalm 9:10 and Romans 15:12, that is, it is written, they that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. That's the papacy speaking to God. They that know thy name shall put their trust in thee. He that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Yes, we are now talking about the law of God, the glorious law of God. And in last week's, or the preceding episode, the name of God was given. They that know God's name, the law says, it is written in the law, they shall put their trust in him, in God, that is. Behold, Isaiah 40:10, the word, behold, the Lord our God will come with strong hand. God has come. God has seen the papacy's call in the Authorized Version Bible, the AZB. God has explored the call, examined the call. God has responded to the call of the papacy. Now, for this first question of interest, which is, let's get back here. 2 Samuel 17:6, shall we the Gentiles do after his, God, sin?
We're going to answer that question, and we first turn to John chapter 2. John chapter 2, verse 5. And the statement there says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. This is written in the law, whatsoever he, God, saith unto you, do it. The powers of the Gentiles, those of the papal office, are under this law, which says, whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. That's a command. That's a commandment in the law of God, in the glorious law of God. All right? Genesis 41:55. Genesis 41:55 reads as follows. What he saith to you, do. So we have the statement in Genesis 41:55 and the statement in John 2, verse 5, saying to the Gentiles, the powers of the Gentiles, whatsoever he saith to you, do it. The people of the Gentiles, whatsoever he, God, saith unto you, do it. Now this third statement is found in Genesis 41:55. No, I just read that one. Genesis 31:16. Genesis 31:16. And we have this statement. Whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. The question is, shall we the Gentiles do after God's saying? The answer is, whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Clear statement, three statements. Two, the word of God is not in it. The third one, the word of God is in it. Whatsoever he saith unto you, do it. Whatsoever he saith to you, do. And whatsoever God hath said unto thee, do. Three statements. In answer to that question, shall we, the Gentiles, do after God saying? The Gentiles are to do as God said, as God has said. All right? Now, that is clear. The name of God is given. Answer to the question is several. Whatsoever God has said unto you, do. That is clear. We move to Acts 18. Acts 18. Okay. Here. Acts 19:38, speaking on the glorious law of God. The law is open. Acts 19:38. The statement there says, the law is open. What law is open? It is the law of the glorious God. Open. The word opens there means one, it means in the clear. Clear. The law is clear. And now let's read again the law, which is in Revelation 17:17. The law says, the words of God shall be fulfilled. The words of God shall be fulfilled. Now, the word of there means concerning. The words concerning God shall be fulfilled. And it also means from. The word of means from. The words from God shall be fulfilled. In the Authorized Version, the AVB, we have words concerning God. The words concerning God shall be fulfilled, such as the word of our God shall stand forever, remain valid forever. The words of our God shall stand forever. The words concerning our God shall stand forever. And this law has to do with God. This law is concerning God. The words of God shall be fulfilled. So the statement, the words of our God shall stand forever, is under that law, is a part of that law, and it shall be fulfilled. And in fulfilling it, that law, that word of our God that shall stand forever, remains forever valid. Just as the glorious law, Revelation 17:17, remains forever valid. And what are the Gentiles to do? We have been told, one, they are to, whatsoever God has said unto you, do it. Okay, two, they are to, and that's also in Revelation 17:17, the Gentiles are to fulfill his will. Now, first of all, there is the will of the papacy that is in the AZB, the word of the papacy that has to do, the good word of the papacy that has to do with the glorious law of God. The Gentiles are to fulfill the papacy's will as that will relates to God, the good will of the papacy concerning God. The Gentiles are to fulfill his will. Okay. Colossians 1:25. Colossians 1:25 says, whereof, the papacy is speaking, whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you. And here it is, to fulfill the word of God. The Gentiles are to fulfill the word of God. Revelation 17:17 said they are to fulfill his will, fulfill the Vatican's will, that good will as it is put down in the Authorized Version, and fulfill the word, the will of God. Okay? Fulfill the will of God, fulfill his will, fulfill the word of God, fulfill the word that is written concerning God, such word as found in Isaiah 40. The word of our God shall stand forever. And that is in Isaiah chapter 40. Let's see here. Trying to get the verse. Chapter 40, verse 9. Verse 8, that is. Chapter 40, verse 8. Isaiah 40, verse 8. The word of our God shall stand forever. The word of God, the word concerning God, the word from God shall stand forever. That is and should be the mind of the Gentiles, high and low, mighty and those with no power. The Gentiles are to fulfill the word of God. The Gentiles, the word of God is to stand forever with the Gentiles. Okay, the glorious law of God. I gave a call last week, the call of God, but I did not give the references. I will now at this time give the references to the call of God, which I read on the program dated 6/27/2010. The program dated 6/27/2010. I spoke on the call. Here are the references to the call of God. Okay, they are Acts 17:23, Acts 21:37, Acts 24:4, Genesis 4:23, Genesis 32:27, 1 Samuel 23:11, Psalm 94:1, Acts 28:22, Judges 9, and this statement is said three times, so the verses are 10, 12, and 14. Judges 9, 10, 12, 14. And 1 Samuel 23, 27, and Acts 16, 9. All right? Let me give those references once more. Acts 17:23, Acts 21:37, Acts 24:4, Genesis 4:23, Genesis 32:27, 1 Samuel 23:11, Psalm 91:94:1, Acts 28:22, Judges 9, verses 10, 12, and 14, 1 Samuel 23:27, and Acts 16:9. At this time, I will read the call. Now understand, the call is a summons. The call is a summons. The call coming from the papacy to God is a summons. I will now read the call itself. I have given you the references. To the unknown God, may I speak to thee. I pray thee that thou wouldst hear us. Hear my voice. What is thy name? I beseech thee, tell thy servant. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself. We desire to hear of thee what thou thinkest. Come thou and reign over us. Haste thee and come and help us. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the summons. The papacy has summoned God. God has received and reviewed, examined the summons, and God has heeded their call. The summons. God has responded to the call, the summons. Okay, the papacy has summoned God. I have heard and answered the papacy's call. The papacy has declared, I have called and no man regarded. That is Proverbs 1:24. The papacy has declared, I have called and no man regarded. I said a moment ago that I have received, I have seen, I have received, I have examined the call. I have regarded the papacy's call. I have considered the papacy's call, which is a summons. Proverbs 1:24, the papacy says, I have called and no man regarded. I have regarded. No man, remember, is the papacy's secret name for God in the AVB. The AVB being a reference to the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. So they have called, no man has regarded, the papacy has called, I have regarded. 1 Samuel 3:6 says these words, and he answered. Okay? And he answered. Now let's put Proverbs 1:24 the statement I read from there and the statement I read from 1 Samuel 3:6 together. So therefore, the papacy said, I have called and no man regarded, and he who, no man, and he, no man who is God, answered. Okay, Jonah 2:2. The papacy says to me, thou heard my voice. Conclusion, Exodus 19:19. I will turn to that. Exodus 19:19. I'll read the whole verse, then I'll give the crucial statement. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and here's the crucial statement, and God answered him by a voice. God answered who? God answered the papacy by a voice. The papacy has said again, I have called and no man regarded, and he, no man, answered. God answered him by a voice. Now, that is a word that is fulfilled. The papacy has called and no man regarded. That's a fulfilled statement now. As I've said before, we are living in the day of the time of God. We are living in the day of the time of God when God is actually on earth. God is doing the will of God. God is doing the papacy's will concerning God. All right? As that will has been set down in the AVB. So the conclusion is that the papal statement, which is a conclusion found in Exodus 19:19, is God answered the papacy's call. God answered the papacy's summons, that is, by a voice. That voice of God is heard now on this program. God's voice is clear in God's book titled The Book of the Law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God. That book in itself is an answer to the papacy's call. The book of God, the book of the law of God, All Things, the Demonstrated Power of God, is an answer to the papacy summoned. The papacy has summoned God. I have answered. Isn't that something? We are living in a time when Bible content is being fulfilled, and is being fulfilled as I speak to you even now. We are living in the time when Bible prophecy is being fulfilled. That's really something. We know that there are no stars falling from the sky. The mountains are not running away, hiding themselves. The moon is not dripping blood. The sun is not refusing to shine. But we are living in the day of God. We are living in the time when the crucial content of the AVB is being fulfilled, and we can see it. We can understand it. This is really something. The crucial content of the AVB is being fulfilled in this day and time of our lives. Wonderful, wonderful. Now let's make a couple of statements about the call, which is a summons. First of all, it's clear that they are speaking to God. The summons starts or begins with these words, to the unknown God. Now, that was in the beginning. They did not know who God is. God's name has been declared on this program. So now the unknown God is now a knowable personality. The unknown God is now known to the Gentiles. The name of God is now available to the Gentiles. The name of God has been given to the Gentiles. So we can say the Gentiles have now the name of God. The Gentiles, including those of the papal offices, know the name of God. God has a face. God has a name. God has a body. God is identified. God is a definable personality. So, in the summons, the papacy speaks to God. Also, in the summons, we have the statement where the papacy says, "I pray thee." The papacy is praying to God. The papacy is talking. The papacy is praying to God. The papacy talks directly to God, asking God to hear its voice, asking God, "What is thy name?" God has honored that question and given his name. Okay. Now, there's a statement in the summons which says, "I beseech thee, tell thy servant thy name." Okay. "I beseech thee, tell thy servant." So it is clear that the Pope is the servant of God. "Tell thy servant." I speak on this program as I spoke last week. I speak to the Pope. I speak to the Gentiles. "Tell thy servant." Here, the papal office declares that the Pope is God's servant. Then he says again, "O God, show thyself. O God, to whom vengeance belongeth, show thyself." Asking God, the papacy is asking God to what? Reveal himself. God revealed himself in the program dated 6/27/2010. God revealed himself. Of course, that information was known prior to the official revealing of the name of God. Okay? So the papacy, in the beginning, speaks to the unknown God. God becomes known to the papacy, to those of the papal office, to the Pope, and to the Gentiles. So the statement having the unknown God is now what? Outdated, because God is known now. All right? Which brings another thought to mind. Your Bible, even if you have the AVB, your Bible is outdated. It's outdated. The Bible content, the crucial matter of Bible content is incomplete. Isn't that something? The crucial matter of the Bible is incomplete. Why? Because it requires certain other things. Therefore, it is in and of itself incomplete. It's just like this. The crucial matter of Bible content requires that the name of God be given. Now, there is, before the name of God was given, then that bit was incomplete. Okay? A question deserves an answer. All right? Take it again. Another thing, hear my voice. The papacy asks God to hear his voice. God has heard the voice of the papacy in the AVB. God has heeded that request therefore again, showing that Bible content, crucial matter of Bible content in and of itself is incomplete, because the papacy requires God to hear his voice and do certain things. God has heard the papacy's voice in the call. God has heard the papacy's voice in its other instructions to God, and God has acted in accordance with the instructions given. Therefore, again, showing that Bible content in and of itself is incomplete because it requires something else. I believe that's easy to understand. It's incomplete. Bible content in and of itself is incomplete. The work of God goes to what? Aid in the completion of Bible content. Now, the work of God does not make Bible content complete in and of itself either. Why? Because there are certain things that the Pope now has to do. Seeing that God has done the things in the AVB set aside for him to do, there are also things remaining in the AVB for the Pope to do and other Gentile authorities and people. Showing again that Bible content in and of itself is incomplete. A prophecy is incomplete before it is fulfilled. The prophecy alone is an incomplete thing. It takes the fulfillment of the prophecy to what? Complete that particular, whatever it is, prophecy. Okay? The papacy has asked God to come. Just that one simple thing. They have asked God in AZB to come. Okay? God has come. Before God came, that portion of Scripture was incomplete. The request for God to come, it was incomplete. God's coming completes that portion of Scripture that has to do with their requesting God, what, to come. Okay? Here in the call, they say, come thou and reign over us. Come thou and reign over us, the Gentiles, including those of the papal office. God has come. God has come to reign, to do what they have requested he do. So, say it again and we move on. Bible content in and of itself, even the talking about the crucial matter of Bible content in and of itself is incomplete. All right? It takes other factors come into play to complete Scripture. God is one factor. The Pope is another factor. Gentile authorities are another factor, and all Gentiles themselves, high, low, rich, poor, it doesn't matter. All Gentiles themselves are a factor in the completion and the completing of the crucial matter of Bible content. People, this is an exciting time we are living in. Again, we are living in the day of God. We are living in the time when Bible crucial matter is coming to pass. And we can see it. We can see it. The Gentiles have a saying, seeing is believing. Okay? So, another thing about the summons, the call, is they ask God to hasten, to make haste. Haste thee, they say, and come and help us. Now, I have shown before in another program where the papacy has confessed to God, saying that it itself, the papacy, and the papacy's people, the Gentiles, are wicked. Okay, here in the call, they ask God to come, reign over them, to make haste, come and help them. Help them. So God is not an intruder. God is one who has come being called. The papacy's statement says what? I have called him. The Vatican statement, I have called him. I have called God. And then the papacy says to me in Jonah chapter 2, verse 2, thou hast heard my voice. And again, the conclusion, God answered him, those of the papal office, by a voice. And I'm answering by my very voice, my speaking voice, and I'm answering also in the book that I have written, the book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. All right. So we have the references to the call. We have the call versed again. We have an understanding of the call. And this other thing in the call I do want to point out. The papacy says, we desire to hear of thee, of their means, from, we desire to hear from thee what thou thinkest. All right? Isn't that something? They desire to hear from God. They desire to hear what God thinks. And this is what God thinks about the call. He thinks that the call is, he thinks the call is a summons. The call is a summons to which he, God, has given heed to. The call is a summons. God has received the summons. God has examined the crucial matter of Bible content. God has come. God has come to reign as they have requested. God has come to help the Gentiles. The Gentiles. Help them. Help them do what is right. Help them do what is right. Now, let's move on. There's another that question, that statement there, I promised to give last week, because I promised to give the references to the call, the summons, and I have done that. All right? So let's go on to who will show us any good. That's one of the questions of interest. Who will show? Who shall show us any good? That statement comes. Let me get the reference to it here. Dropping my phone. Let's see. Okay. Let's get back to the description here. I'm moving about. So we go to the questions of interest. We did answer before I attended the call. We answered the first question, 2 Samuel 17:1. Shall we do after his saying, after God's saying? And the answer to that is, whatsoever God has said to you, do it. All right? So the Gentiles are bound to the word of God. We've also said that the Gentiles are to fulfill God's will, whether that will be in the authorized version or that will be, you know, God's will himself. The Gentiles are to fulfill God's will. The Gentiles are not to question the will of God. The Gentiles are to carry out the will of God. That is the papacy's will. Why? Because that comes from the authorized version. The papacy has set its will concerning God in the authorized version Bible. Shall we, the Gentiles, do after his sin? So in short, the answer to that question is yes, the Gentiles shall do according to God's word, according to God's saying. All right? Now we have Malachi 3:8. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8, a very important question. Will a man rob God? What does that mean? How can you rob God? All right, let's see. Let's look up the definition of rob. R-O-B. All right, rob. Okay. Rob, here is the definition. Here is the applicable definition to rob. To deprive someone of something belonging or due, or take or withhold something from unjustly or injuriously. That is very important. I will repeat that definition. The applicable definition of rob here is to deprive someone of something belonging or due, or take or withhold something from unjustly or injuriously. Will a man rob God? Will the papacy do what it has promised God it will do? Will the papacy keep its word? That's what it boils down to. That's what that question boils down to. Will a man rob God? Malachi 3:8. It boils down to, will the papacy do what it has declared to do in the authorized version Bible? So it is obvious, it is apparent that these things have to do with the Pope. Pope Benedict XVI, he is the sitting, he is the living Pope. These things have to do with him. These things have to do with the Gentiles, period. But most importantly, these things have to do with the Pope. And those are the papal office, right? I have not yet read the promises, the papal promises to God. I haven't read those yet. I have given you on other occasions the expectations concerning God. I have the papal expectations concerning God. I have given you the undeniable signs of the presence of God on earth. Those signs have come from the papacy. They are set down in the authorized version Bible. Of course, God has organized them, put them together, and brought them forth on a previous program. The signs, undeniable signs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. No man being a nickname for God given by the papacy. So, yes. The papacy, the Pope, has, number one, the papacy is a factor, as I said earlier. The papacy has things that it is supposed to do, just as God has things in the authorized version Bible that he is supposed to do and was supposed to do and has done, okay, and is doing, in the process of doing, all right? So, will a man rob God? Will the papacy withhold that which belongs to God? Will the papacy keep its word? Will the papacy honor and keep its own word? Okay? Will the papacy keep its promises? Will Pope Benedict carry out the promises of God as he has promised God? All right? And I will read those promises, I doubt if I read them on this program, but it is my intention to read the promises, the papacy's promises concerning God. Will a man rob God? Will the Gentiles rob God? Will the Gentiles keep from God that which God is actually due? That will the Gentiles, including those of the papal office, keep from God that which God is due by law, by their, the Gentiles, own law. Okay? I, God, did not write the statement in Revelation 17:17. I, God, did not write the statement in Isaiah 40, verse 8. Okay. But I do, and I am doing things in response to that which the papacy has written in the Authorized Version Bible, the AVB. Will a man rob God? So we have an understanding now of that question, that crucial question. Will a man rob God? Will the papacy rob God? Will the Vatican rob God? Will the Pope rob God? Will the Gentiles, period, rob God? Will they keep from God the things God is due by their own law, which God is bringing forth? Okay? They have asked God, they have summoned God to come and help them. They, the Gentiles, have summoned God to come and help them, as it is evident in the call of God, the call concerning God, the call which is a summons. Mm-hmm. Okay? Let's move on. Next item on the agenda. Let's see here. Will a man rob God? Shall we do after his saying? Now we move to Psalm 4, verse 6. Who will show us, the Gentiles, any good? Who will show the Gentiles any good? In the book of Genesis, the very first chapter of Genesis, and the very last verse of that first chapter, I believe, we find these words. All right. Genesis 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. God saw everything that he had made. Let's stop there. What has God made? I have presented you with things that I have made, composed, written, put together. Okay? What has God made? God has made the Vatican's infamous law, infamous curse against African people. The papacy's curse against African people, that infamous curse, God has made that. I've read a portion of it, if I haven't read all of it, in previous programs. Okay? What else God has made? God has made the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover, which I have read in its entirety or even in part. On this program, from this program. All right? What else has God made? God has made the Vatican's expectations concerning God. I have read those expectations on a previous program. What else has God made? God has made the undeniable, infallible signs of the presence of God on earth where no man is. I have read those signs, many of those signs, on a previous program. What else has God made? God has made the Vatican's promises concerning God. I have not brought those promises forth yet. I plan to do so soon. What else has God made? God has made the law of God, the glorious law of God. You can see it in my book. You hear me speak of it on this program, but you can read it line by line in my book, or from my book. The book of the law of God, all things is demonstrated power of God. Those are some things God has made. Now, what has the Vatican written beforehand about God and the things God has made? We look again at Genesis 1, verse 31. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. What does he mean when he says God saw these things that he had made, and behold, it was very good? It means this. It is the papacy's opinion that the Vatican's infamous curse against black people, which God has written, is very good. It is the Vatican's opinion that the papacy's iniquitous law of Passover, which God has written, is very good. What else does it mean? It means that God's ban on Jesus is very good in the papacy's eye. What else does it mean? It means the God's Freedom of Information Act, which he has read on this program, is very good in the Pope's opinion. And I can go on and on. But that's what that statement means. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. They have judged the work of God to be very good aforehand, before time, before it actually materialized. Isn't that something? And what have they said? They have said, the word concerning our God shall stand forever. That is a word, people, concerning the Gentiles' God. Genesis 1, verse 31. That is a word concerning the Gentiles' God. God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. That shall stand, the papacy has declared in Isaiah verse 40, I mean chapter 40, verse 8 of Isaiah, that the word concerning the Gentiles' God shall stand forever. It cannot be changed. It is the papacy's opinion that the work of God is very good. That's their opinion of God's work. That's their opinion of the works I have presented to you, the works I have talked about to you, the works that I have shown you. That Genesis 1, verse 31 is the papacy's official opinion concerning the works of God. Isn't that something? Very good. Now, we're getting down to the last few minutes. Let me say this before I forget. Those of you who heard the program, last week's program, dated 6/27/2010, I said on that program that I asked, what scripture can you give me that is a tribute to God? What scripture in the AVB is a tribute to God by the papacy? what tribute to God has the papacy put in the Authorized Version Bible? Let's see. Here? All right. And I'm getting now back to the computer. Just a moment here. Okay. All right, it's coming up now. But just think about that. The papacy has judged God's work aforehand, before time. All right? All right. Judged his work before time, beforehand. All right. Now, I'm going to give the call-in number, the guest call-in number, as soon as it comes up here. Okay, it's coming up here. All right, the guest call-in number is 1-718-664-6262. Again, that number is 1-718-664-6262. Guest call-in number. All right. You may call in. But what scripture has the papacy put there in the AVB that is a tribute to God? I will give the answer. The statement that is a tribute to God given by the papacy is found in the longest chapter in the AZB. The longest chapter in the AZB. And that chapter in the AZB is in the book of Psalms. And that psalm is Psalm 119. Psalm 119 is the papacy's tribute to God. And I'll expound on that on the next program, the next broadcast. All right? So join me, join Lawmaster next Sunday, and I'm thinking that the time will still be 10 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. When I will talk about the complex of the law. I thought I would get to that today, but there's no way. The complex of the law. The law of God is a complex. And the papacy has given an example of a complex in the Bible. My question to you, and you can report back to me next week on the program, is, What passage has the Vatican put in the Bible that is a complex? All right, you can look up the definition of the word complex in a good Bible, in a good dictionary. What complex has the papacy put in the Bible? Okay, all right. Now, again, the call guest call in number is 1-718-664-6262. Visit the links. Go to Lawmaster's page in this final minute. Remember to visit the links, center column, Lawmaster's page. There you can click on the YouTube presentation. We have a great YouTube presentation there. Please work that, click on that link, and we have a PayPal link from which you may order the document, the Book of the Law of God, All Things of Demonstrated Power of God. Order the document, work the links, people, work the links. The Gentiles, to you, work the links, visit the YouTube presentation, and click on the PayPal link and obtain your copy of the book of the law of God, all things the demonstrated power of God. I will stay on for a few minutes after the streaming has stopped, and as I said, call in on the guest call-in number. That number is 1-718-664-6262. What you are getting on this program is actually the doctrine of God. The Bible speaks about the doctrine of God. And that's what I am giving you on this program, the doctrine of God. Okay? The complex of the law. That was the topic of today's program. And of course, today's date is 7/04/2010. Name of the program, the complex, the name of this episode, that is, the complex of the law, which we will get to next week. All right. Right now, I don't see where we have any callers. I will check in another couple of minutes or so, but right now we don't have any callers. We're still talking about the glorious law of God, and in these things and with these things, in these things, God is talking to the papacy. God is talking to the Pope. God is talking to the Gentiles. The Gentiles are under the glorious law of God. They are subject to the glorious law of God. All right. We talked about the call. We found out, we realized that the call is a summons. Okay, back. The papacy's call is a summons. And in that summons, they have ask God to make haste and to come and to help them. They address God, ask God. They use the verbiage, pray to, I pray thee, we pray thee. All right. But keep this in mind. Have you noticed that none of these things have to do with religion? None of these issues that I speak about on this program and bring forth on this program are not, they are, none of them are religious issues. The church does not talk about any of these, We can see the difference in what I teach in teaching the law of God and the law of the Authorized Version Bible, commonly called King James Version. We can see the difference in what I teach and that which they teach, or that which is taught in the churches at this particular time, although that will come to an end. All right? The deceitful teaching will come to an end. It's time for the Gentiles to end the deceitful teachings. Now, it is time. So, the thing I was trying to get to is this, that the Bible is not a religious book, as I have said from the very beginning. The Bible is not a religious book. The Authorized Version Bible is not a religious tool. It is a law book. The Bible, the Authorized Version Bible, is a law book. And it's evident in the things that I teach. Look at the laws that I teach on. Okay? That is evident. The Authorized Version Bible is not a religious book. The Authorized Version Bible is a law book, which the Gentiles know and which the Gentiles will now begin to state openly and declare openly. Even the Pope will declare openly that the Authorized Version Bible is a law book. And it has the law of God by which the Gentiles, a law in which the Gentiles must walk. Okay. So let me check and see if we have any callers online. If you have any comment, constructive comment, or just want to make a statement, a good statement, call in at 1-718-664-6262. Okay, I see we do not have any callers at this time. Let me go ahead and do this then in the time remaining. Let me go on. Okay. Who shall show us any good? That's the question. And I went to Genesis chapter 1, verse 31, where it says, God saw that everything he had made was very good. Okay. Micah 6:8. Okay? We find these words. He hath showed thee, O man, what is good. He, God, hath showed thee, O man, whoever you are, male or female, what is good. All right? What is good? He hath showed thee what is good. Let me just expound on that just a little bit. All right? I have showed you the papacy's infamous law concerning the destruction of Africans and the Gentile takeover of Africa and its inhabitants. That is good. I have shown you that on this program in a previous broadcast. I have also shown you the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover. That is a good thing that God has done. God has shown the old man what is good. And what is good? Truth is good. Truth is good. I show you truth found in the Bible, and I show you also truth as it is lived in flesh and bones now, lived out in flesh and bones now. God is alive. God has come. The papacy has called God. God has come. All right. The papacy has demanded certain things of God. God has done those things. God is doing those things. Okay, he has showed the old man what is good. What is good? As I said, truth is good. The showing of truth is good. The setting forth of truth is good. As I have set forth the papacy's infamous law of the curse, the papacy's curse against black people, as I have shown you the papacy's iniquitous law of Passover, as I have shown you the papal expectations concerning God, as I have shown you the undeniable, infallible signs or proofs of the presence of God on earth where no man is, all of those things are good. Those are good works that I have done. He has shown the old man what is good. And now I am showing you the papacy's law concerning God. Okay? That is good. And that law is good. That law concerning God is good. Okay? But that's what the statement means. In Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good. God has showed it to them. That statement is in Romans 1:19. And I'm checking that to make sure I'm giving the correct reference. Romans 1:19. I'm turning quickly. Here we go. Romans 1:19. I will read the complete verse. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. And the crucial statement here is, for God has showed it to them. Now, I just told you things that I have shown you. The Bible, the papacy in the Bible, makes a statement saying that God has showed you these things. God has showed you the papacy's infamous curse against black people, the Vatican's iniquitous law of Passover, the undeniable, infallible proofs of God on earth where no man is, and other things as well. The papacy's official statement says God has showed it to them. God has showed it what? The good, that which is good to them, the Gentiles, including those of the papal office. God has done that. That is the law in the kingdom of God. I have showed the Gentiles God's ban on Jesus. That is a good thing that I have done. God's ban on Jesus is a good work. I have shown that in a previous program. I will speak three words. Matthew 8:8 says, speak the word. Speak the word. Okay, now the words that I will speak are, one, the Gentiles have killed the deceitful teaching of Jesus. Two, the Gentiles' religion is a thing of the past. And three, the knowledge of Bible truth pervades the kingdom of God. Three words. I have spoken. I have obeyed the papal statement in Matthew 8:8. Matthew 8:8. Making sure, checking my reference as I give it to you. Matthew 8:8, the complete statement says, the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only. And I stopped there because that's the part that I want. Speak the word. And I spoke three words. The Gentiles have killed the teaching of Jesus. The Gentiles' religion is a thing of the past. The knowledge of Bible truth pervades the kingdom of God. Three words I have spoken. Speak in carrying out obedience to the command. Speak the word. I have showed the Gentiles God's Freedom of Information Act. On a previous program, that is the law in the kingdom of God. The law is good. That Freedom of Information Act that God has put forth, that law is good. I have showed the Gentiles the glorious law of God. That is the law in the kingdom of God. That law is good. And again, that law is the crucial statement of that law is found in Revelation 17, verse 17. Revelation 17, verse 17. Okay. Micah 6:8. I've spoken on that already. The statement, he has showed the old man what is good. Okay. I have shown you God's ban on Jesus. I have shown you God's Freedom of Information Act. And I have shown you the glorious law of God. The papal statement says God has showed it. That which is good to them, the Gentiles. God has showed that which is good to the Gentiles. Heretofore, I have told you that the AVB's word of mediation, the statement in Romans 1:19, God has showed it to them, the Gentiles, is a word of mediation. It settles the matter on who has shown you these things, or these three things. God's ban on Jesus, God's Freedom of Information Act, and the glorious law of God. God has shown you those three things. Not only is the Roman statement, Romans 1:19, not only is it a, not only is it a word of mediation, it is also a prophetic statement which has come to pass. Okay? What has come to pass then? God has showed it to them. And I've already named several times the things that I have shown you. Okay? All right? So if they state the Roman statement in chapter 1:19, which says God has showed it to them, is one, a statement of mediation, and two, it is also a prophetic statement which has come to pass. And we now know exactly what God has shown and who he showed it to. What do we know about Romans 1:19? We know who God is. We know God has shown three things on this hour's program, and we know what three things God has shown during this hour, and we know who God has showed the three things to. Okay? Now, that, and let's see what else we have here that I can give out. Okay, we've spoken about the call. And I'm waiting to see if we're going to get any calls. Doesn't look like it. Okay. No, we don't have any calls. Okay. So let's go back. Bear with me for a moment, please. I'm pulling the outline back up. Okay, what is good, God has shown it to them. God saw everything that he beheld, it was good. The word of our God shall stand forever. God hath received him. Okay, the final thing here on the description says Romans 14:3. God hath received him. What does that mean? God has received him. And then I have there the Pope in parentheses. That means this. The Pope is to visit God. All right? The Pope has an obligation to visit God. Okay? And so the papacy, in the Authorized Version Bible, has spoken on that beforehand, saying God has received him. All right? You know, it says speak the word only, speak the word. The word spoken now is God has received him. And we go back to the glorious law, which says the words of God shall be fulfilled. That is that statement, Romans 14:3, God has received him, the Pope. That is a word concerning God. It has to be fulfilled. God has received the Pope. The Pope is obligated, the Pope is bound to pay God a visit. He's bound to visit God. Now watch this, he's bound to visit God during God's lifetime, all right, here on earth. A real, actual, physical appearance before God. Turn to Psalm 42. This is very good. This is very important. Psalm 42. Keeping in mind Romans 14:3, God has received him, the Pope. All right? Psalm 42. I'm going to read the entire statement, and it's found in verse 2 of Psalm 42. My soul, and this is a papal statement coming from the Vatican, from the papacy. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. Key word there, living God. That means he's where people can see him, not invisible. The living God, that's how we know he's living. We see him. All right? My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. Then the papacy asked God these words. When shall I come and appear before God? Now you have a question. The papacy asked, when shall I come and appear before God? Then you have the Romans 14:3 statement saying God has received him. You see how things are working here? The papacy speaks beforehand in the Authorized Version Bible. The papacy asks, when shall I come and appear before God? And we know that it's talking about a living God because it's preceded by living God. The two words, living God, in verse 2 of Psalm 42. When shall I come and appear before God? All right. I have informed the Pope on this program, previous programs, to prepare to meet his God. The Pope has been informed of God to prepare to meet his God. I have not given the date yet. Okay? All right. Now, the papacy speaks beforehand in Romans 14:3 saying God has received him. That statement must come to pass during God's lifetime here on earth. The words of God shall be fulfilled, the glorious law of God. That Romans 14:3 statement is a word concerning God. Just like the statement in Isaiah 40, verse 8, which says, the word of our God shall stand forever. Now, Romans 14:3, God has received him, is a word concerning God, which the Pope must fulfill during God's lifetime here on earth. He must visit the living God, the God that can be seen, the God that talks, the God in flesh, skin. All right? That statement must come to pass during God's lifetime here on earth. And it has to do with the Pope visiting God. When shall I come and appear before God? God is considering that question, and God will provide the Pope with a specific date and time and place for him to come and appear before God and bring to pass the statement concerning God, which says, God hath received him. People, the Bible is a law book through and through. Of course, that crucial law is scattered about in Bible content. And we can see that the law is coherent. God has put things together. And there's another statement that says, whatsoever God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. I have authority to join statements together or to join statements. I have authority, I have papal authority to put things of the Authorized Version Bible together. And then the law concerning God says, whatsoever God hath joined, let not man put asunder. God has authority to join statements, as you see me do in my teaching of Bible content, my teaching on Bible content. You see me put things together. I have papal authority to do that. Okay, that's enough for today. Join me next week, next Sunday, for another broadcast, another Lawmaster broadcast. And one of the main focuses will be that the concept of the law. The concept of the law. And I said today that Psalm 119 is the Vatican. In Psalm 119, the Vatican has put forth a tribute to God. We'll talk about it next time. Join me. Again, work the clinks. Work the clinks. Again, work the click things there. Work the links, that is. Work the links. Visit the YouTube presentation and order, get your copy of the Book of the Law of God, All Things of Demonstrated Power of God, by clicking on the PayPal link there, right above the YouTube link. And those links are found on Lawmaster's page, center column. Okay? Join me again next week for another Lawmaster broadcast, where we will continue to expound and teach on the glorious law of God. Thank you.